Well, in that situation, you can see that when the crisis emerged, the Crusader states were not in the best position to take on a powerful Islamic opponent. Count Raymond owed his title to, I mean, he was about 30 at the time of the marriage, and his wife was only 9, Constance. I mean, he owed his position through the marriage alliance. He was under pressure from the Byzantine government. The new Count of Edessa, Jocelyn II, turns out to be a rather feckless character, a rather silly man in many ways. And the reigning king of Jerusalem by the time of the crisis is Baldwin III, the son of Fulk and Melisende, and he's in the hand of a group of regents. So when a crisis broke in 1144, the Latin Crusader states, for all of their institutional success and military resources, were not really equipped with the best of political leaders to handle this new Muslim threat. They also had perhaps the highest strain relations to date with the court at Constantinople. And as I mentioned earlier, the Second Crusade had nothing to do with any kind of Byzantine concerns, far from it. We shall see it was actually contrary to what the Emperor Manuel I wanted. Well, what about the second aspect of this building crisis? What was going on in the Islamic world? Well, the Seljuk Turks, both in Asia Minor and in Syria and Iraq, the wider Near East, had regained a great deal of their confidence in the first half of the 12th century, winning a number of different victories. None of these really coalesced into some sort of major effort to drive the Franks of the coast out of their cities. Very often, jihad was invoked as one of a number of means of allowing a Turkish general to recruit various allies so that he could seize border castles, plunder, take over areas at the expense of the Franks. But this changed in 1127 when a remarkably able Turkoman commander, Zenji, arrived in Mosul with the firman, that is, with the commission of the Abbasid Caliphate, that he was to take over command. Zenji proved an extremely able commander, a charismatic figure. He was actually rumored to be the son of Ida of Austria, who was a high noblewoman killed on the crusade of 1101, but it was claimed that she was actually taken prisoner and taken to the harem of a Turkish ruler, and the union of that harem was Zenji. It's a way of the crusaders explaining, well, the reason Zenji's so good is that he's really one of us. And it's a rather bizarre compliment, but nonetheless, it was a story that was accepted in Western circles. Zenji managed to take the city of Aleppo and consolidate his position over northern Syria and what would be eastern Turkey and southeastern Turkey. Damascus did not fall to his control, but it was an impressive realm. And this time Zenji had at his disposal far many more Turkish tribal regiments than any other ruler before. And so when he stormed into Edessa in 1144, this was really a major reverse. This is the first time the Crusaders had lost any sort of significant territory. And even if their geography was not the best, it was pretty clearly understood that this endangered Antioch and the whole defense of the Latin East, and that ultimately Jerusalem herself could be put in jeopardy. Count Raymond in Antioch, Queen Melisende in Jerusalem, and her nobles all issued appeals to the Pope, who was not in Rome at the time. He was actually in Viterbo in Tuscany, because at the moment Rome was undergoing some rather strange political developments. The commune had actually made Rome a little bit unlivable for the Pope. That would change when Frederick I showed up. Eugenius III seized upon this invitation to commission a second crusade. He himself was really not in a position to give the kind of resounding speech that Urban did. But he had, fortunately for Eugenius, the leading churchman of the day, a man called Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, who was the abbot of one of the leading Cistercian monasteries in Europe, a powerful intellectual thinker. His sermons have survived, his religious writings. And Saint Bernard, who was canonized shortly after his death, actually less than 10 years after his death, he appears in a vision to one of the kings of Jerusalem, Amalric, to encourage him to make an attack in Egypt, which turned out to be, unfortunately, not the right advice. It was inspiring, but wrong. But Saint Bernard was regarded as one of the most powerful orators in Western Europe, and he was in the the Cistercian order, which was the great monastic revival really developing in the 12th century that was following on the tradition of Cluny. You have these periodic revivals of ascetic monastic life in Europe, and Quito, the first of the Cistercian monasteries, pioneered a series of reforms. Bernard was within that tradition, so he stood as the spokesman for what was regarded internationally as one of the most respected religious orders in Western Europe. And Bernard inspired thousands to take the cross. The information was really rather quite mixed. First they heard Edessa was captured, then it was recaptured, then it was captured again. But by 1146, there was no doubt that the party was on.